Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Broadcasting from Terrio Studios in Glendale, California, it's time for Epic Real Estate Investing with Matt Terrio.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello. And welcome to another episode of Epic Real Estate Investing. If this is your first time listening to the show, if you just found us, boy, did you pick a good week to do it. Really glad that you're here, and I'll explain in just a second. This is the place where I teach people how to escape the rat race by investing in real estate. And if I were to do it all over again, I wouldn't change a thing. I'd do it exactly the same way. People ask me that question all the time. If you were to start from scratch, what would you do first? Well, I'd do everything that I did the first time. You see, when I got started, I didn't have any money, and I had a terrible credit score. And so I was forced to make the no money down ways work. And during that, I stumbled upon 12 different strategies. Yes, there's actually 12 different strategies of investing in real estate with none of your own money. And I stumbled upon those. I put them to work. And in hindsight, I think by being forced to invest with little to no money and no credit, I never have used a bank. By being forced to do it that way, I believe that made me a better investor. And I'm a much better investor today because of it. And I want to make you a better investor as well. So I put the first two strategies, the two of which I believe are the easiest and fastest strategies to a paycheck, I put them into a free course just for you. And you can access that free course at freerealestateinvestingcourse.com. And if you're not in front of your computer right now and you can't wait to get in front of your computer, you can actually access the course right there on your phone. Just text free course to 55678. Free course, that's all one word. Text free course to 55678, and you get those two strategies right there on your phone. Alrighty? So let's keep it going. This is an awesome week. And this is what I meant by, if you just found us, this is a great week to find us. Because what we are doing all this week, we are celebrating our 100th episode. We are celebrating our 1 millionth download. And this Thursday will be the opening of version 2.0 of the Epic Pro Academy. And right now, I'm in a little bit of a celebration mode. I happen to be broadcasting live from Las Vegas. I had a business trip out here. I made another investment into my own education. So I'm out here. I'm staying up to date with what's going on in the world of real estate, in particular, how it affects us investors. And I'll be sharing what I learned here on future episodes in the very near future. I'm actually getting on a plane today and coming home just in time to open up version 2.0 of the Academy tonight at midnight. The doors will be open. And you know, this has been a long time coming. You know, what was just supposed to be a couple of months back in October turned into 6 months plus. So I'm super excited of finally getting to share this with you. You know, one of the new features of the Academy is a private Facebook group. A lot of people are asking for ways to interact with other Academy members, whether it was to buy, whether it was to sell, whether it was to network, whatever it was going to be. And so I got that request enough. I was like, okay, I got to find a solution. And I was toying with the idea of including a members-only forum inside the Academy. But because of all the customization I've done with regard to, I don't know, calculators and analysis tools, the automated offer systems, inserting the Epic Wholesalers engine inside the Academy. Yes, if you didn't know, Epic Wholesalers will now be free to Epic Academy members, and it'll actually be inside of the Academy. And you'll be able to access, through that, you can access my private buyers list until you're able to build your own. And you can even access it after you build your own. It's an option there for you to use to maximize your exit strategies. Anyway, all that takes a lot of custom work. And, you know, every private community forum solution that we looked into was probably going to conflict or interfere with all of that custom work. So what I did is I just figured, since everybody's already on Facebook, they're on there all day mostly, Let's just create a closed, private, members-only Facebook group. So we did. I'm actually even more excited about that solution as than I was the forum, just because I'm probably more likely to interact. I'm probably more likely to respond to members' comments, and I'm more likely to do it much quicker on Facebook than I would be if I had to log into a separate forum all the time. That's kind of a pain. You know, we've all got enough usernames and passwords and places where we interact online. So let's just put it where we already are. That just makes a lot of sense. Much more efficient. So anyway, that's included in the membership. And tonight at midnight, if you're not already a member, you'll have the opportunity to now become one. Okay? So all this week, in celebration of all that's good that's going on over here, I'm interviewing Epic community members on their real-world experiences in real estate. You know, this last Monday, we had Kenny Castillo. Yesterday, we had Nicole Bryan, two total rock stars. So if you missed those, you got to go back and check those out. And there's so much to learn from those interviews. And I've got two more this week, tomorrow and Friday. Can't wait to share those stories and experiences with you. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, because it's today. I've got an awesome guest waiting on the phone right now to share his story with us. So without further ado, please welcome Mike Slane to the show. Welcome, Mike, to Epic Real Estate Investing.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it. And everything you've done, I mean, for wannabe real estate investors like myself before I dove in, I must say that you have been a big encouragement. And I mean, your podcast really pushed me over the edge. So
super.
I appreciate
super.
That.
Well, thank you. Hopefully it didn't. I can't wait to hear your story. I hope I didn't push you too far over the edge.
No, it was a good push. It was a nudge.
Very good. Well, glad that you could make it. And you know, I'm going to thank you in advance for your generosity and your transparency and sharing your experience. Are you a full-time real estate investor today?
Today I am. Yeah. I mean, it was like you mentioned, it was about 5 months ago when I decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and just make the leap. I was doing a lot of the marketing and stuff that you recommend and talking to owners and building that buyers list and all the stuff that, you know, you talk about and kind of preach to us. And, I just decided, you know, I don't have enough time to keep working. So I gotta do this full time if I'm going to make it work for me. And that's what I had to do, to get there.
Mm-hmm. So. Super. Okay. So what was your day job? What were you doing?
I was actually in insurance before this. I was an underwriter. So, you know,
okay. Very good. And how long have you been doing that?
I was working in insurance for about 6 years. So that was kind of...
Got it.
Yeah, my job before that. I think I went, I don't know, I kind of followed a traditional path. Like a lot of people, they, you know, everybody tells you go to college, get a good job, you know, work for 30 years and, you know, eventually have a nice retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did that and... you know, I decided I'll go ahead and I'll take it one step further, went and got the master's degree and looked around, Matt, and I said, this isn't really working. I'm not really getting anywhere fast, making somebody else a lot of money, but, you know, just enough to pay my bills. So,
Right. How old are you right now?
What's that?
How old are you right now?
I'm 30 years old.
30. Okay.
Yeah. So I started investing, I mean, my first property I bought, it's maybe a little bit non-traditional in this way. First house I bought was actually a four-family apartment building back in 2009. So I've known for a while that real estate was my, I don't know, my calling or my way out, I guess. But I never had the guts to make that jump until I started listening to your show.
When did you get that first bug for real estate investing?
It was probably when I was about 18. I think it's like a lot like anybody's stories. They read, was it Rich Dad, Poor Dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the Real Estate Investor's Bible, I like to call it.
You read that at 18?
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, I don't know, whenever it first came out. Mm-hmm. It's been, you know, 10 years ago, something like that. So I read that and I just knew, I said, man, that's the way to do it. But I was just always, you know, never knew how, never really saw the way until... started listening to your podcast and just started taking it step by step, a little bit further and a little bit further, and finally decided that this was what was for me.
Cool.
And yeah.
Super. God, I wish I would have read Rich Dad Poor Dad when I was 18 years old. What a different life this would have been. So you're 30. You've got some awesome years ahead of you. You're way ahead of the game, I think.
I hope so.
Yeah, definitely. So you bought a fourplex in 2009.
Right.
That was your first deal. But
that was just traditional, though. You know, bought it through a real estate agent and all that. And paid retail prices. So.
Uh-huh. Do you still have that property?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Very good.
Moved out of there probably, it's been almost 2 years now, to another single family home. And that was, again, going to be a rental. But I'm living there now.
Okay.
So it's actually just this month I've got enough, I guess you'd say, confidence in my abilities to keep wholesaling and making profits. I picked up another rental. So I'm on for six doors, I guess, now. And looking to pick up at least one or two, probably a quarter from here on out.
Awesome. That's awesome.
If we're able to keep up the pace.
Right.
So, yeah, perfect. since August, I guess that's kind of the next thing.
Okay.
I guess it was probably took me 2 months before I actually was able to close my first deal. And, It was a long 2 months, Matt.
Well, let's back up a second.
Yeah. Go ahead.
One of the, I guess, bigger challenges for people that are in your situation that know that they want to get involved in real estate investing, but they're kind of afraid to take that first leap. They're afraid to, you know, leave the security, quote unquote, of their job. You know, what was it that, I'm going to ask you specifically, what was it about the podcast? I mean, you purchased a property, you know, in 2009, that seems mm-hmm. that you still have it. So that was a success. So what was missing that the podcast, or how the podcast made a difference?
Well, it's all about how to make it's not necessarily a quick buck, but it's how to make bigger profits in real estate a little bit more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what everybody's kind of looking for, is how to wholesale. And you kind of, you give us a great blueprint for how to do that. So, I mean, that was the part that I didn't know. I mean, it was just a mystery to me how to do any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started listening to you, I mean, you really put it in perspective. It's just, it's not that hard. It just takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So you work your plan and you can get there.
Super, super. What market are you in?
I'm in St. Louis.
You're in St. Louis. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Very good. It's another, got another coaching client, Epic Academy member over there as well. Do you know Brad?
That's right. Yeah, I do. I do actually, and that was one of the podcasts. After I heard him, really got my butt in gear. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just like, man, I related to a lot of things that he was saying. It was just like, it's time for me to make it my story.
Right.
So.
Right. You know, that's that makes a difference for a lot of people when you hear about somebody, you know, who's close to you, who's in your market, and who's actually doing it and started from scratch. You know, sometimes it just takes that evidence to put it over the top that gives you the confidence to have you take that first step. Is that kind of what Brad's story did for you?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, like you said, it hits home when you hear about somebody in your market. But, you know, I wish I wouldn't have waited that long.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I... Because the funny thing is, I mean, I was listening to your podcast religiously, you know, for months and months. I don't know, maybe took a break or something, came back, and that was the first episode I listened to after maybe like a month of not listening. I apologize mm-hmm. for that, Matt.
That's okay.
But yeah, I heard his, and I was just like, oh, man, that's just crazy. I mean, the timing and everything, it just, so it was maybe, I don't know, a few months after that, and I decided I had to make it my story.
Got it. Well, super, super. So let's get to that part. So you're working as an insurance underwriter. You hear this episode and you're like, well, by golly, if that guy Brad can do it, he doesn't seem too smart. I could do it too. Right.
Hey, don't let him fool you. He's a pretty smart guy.
No, the guy, definitely, he knows his stuff. Definitely.
He does. He
yeah.
really does.
I'm hoping he was listening. I said that for his benefit.
Me too. That's
super. Okay, so you decide, you've made the decision, I'm going to quit my job and go become a full-time real estate investor, and I'm going to start with wholesaling. Did you do anything in preparation to leave your job?
Yes. Well, I mean, I think that's kind of the beginning of my story that we mentioned before. I've been putting myself in a position to, decrease my monthly expenses for a long time. you know, so live below my means, then work to expand them. So I, you know, I mean, that was really step one. I'm fortunate enough to be able to lower my bills to a point where I don't need a whole heck of a lot of money coming in each month to really make make my ends meet. So that was kind of the first step that I took.
Okay.
After that, then it was really all about, I mean, setting up the marketing campaigns.
Okay.
I mean, this business, it's all about marketing.
Right. Did you set that up before you quit, or did you just quit and then started?
I'll tell you what, it feels like I started after I quit, just based on the amount of marketing I'm doing now compared to what I was doing before. But no, I mean, when I was working, I was still doing it, and I was doing a lot of it myself, writing yellow letters in my spare time, making as many phone calls as I could after work, and occasionally on my lunch breaks, which sometimes got a little longer than they probably should have been.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I mean, it was definitely starting the marketing before I quit. I mean, I didn't have a deal done yet, but I was putting some of the foundation together.
Super. So you quit your job without even having a deal closed yet. What?
That's right.
Where did you get the confidence that, you know, everything was going to be okay?
I don't know. Maybe my parents. Or maybe I'm just crazy, man. I don't know. I knew that if I had to make it work, I would. But having that security of the job, I didn't have to make it work. And for me, that was part of the reason I think I needed to do it that way. I mean, it's one of those things where it just wasn't working. I knew that if I worked it harder, I could make it work. And that's kind of where I've been at, you know, for the first couple months after I quit. Just, all right, I just got to keep working.
Right.
It's working for other people. What am I doing, you know, just a little bit different that it's not quite lining up for me yet? And, yeah, so that was really it, just dogged persistence. And
okay.
Eventually get there.
So day one of you are now self-employed. You are a real estate investor. What was the first thing that you did?
Oh, man.
Slept in?
I'm not known to sleep in, no. Usually up by about 5 o'clock, so we don't sleep in. First thing I did, I mean, it was probably still posting the online ads. It's one of those things where it's just, they're free. I mean, you may as well make use of them. So I got to trying to put together my online ads a little bit more sophisticated so that I'd have, you know, ads that I could repeat over and over that I didn't have to retype each time. So I put a little foundation together for something like that.
Perfect. So you had you wrote out a few ads and you just kind of used those in rotation?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Perfect. And then where were you posting those ads online?
Both Craigslist and Backpage.
Okay.
I know I like Backpage now just because you can still use the HTML text in there. And I've also found some pretty decent buyer leads off of off Backpage. So
very good. So yeah. You're building your buyer's list a little bit from that as well.
Yes, yes. And that's one thing that, I mean, it's kind of, it's funny. I mean, the buyer's list, I used to think, okay, well, I'm looking for houses in St. Louis, right? So I'm looking for buyers in St. Louis. And that's what I was doing day after day. And so I don't know where I heard it, but it was just like, you don't have to post just in your city, you know. When you're looking for buyers, they live all over.
Right.
So that's when a light bulb went off and I started posting ads, I mean, a little bit more heavily, and it's been working out pretty well for me. So,
awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
So what else? Online ads, anything else?
Online ads, those yellow letters. I did the bandit signs for a little while. And the next thing that I started doing was the bumper stickers.
Bumper stickers. Okay, let's get to that in just a second.
Okay.
That's intriguing. Yellow letters, how many of those were you sending out a week?
Prior to quitting, we were sending out I'd say 40 or 50 a week.
Okay.
Now we're up to, 50 a day times 6 days in a week. So we're looking at about 300 a week.
Okay. Very good. Are you doing all those yourself or do you have somebody writing those for you?
No. I mean, again, when I started, yes, I was doing them myself, but it's just too time consuming. So, no, I have somebody that helps me do those.
Perfect. And on your yellow letter, you just writing I'd like to buy your house, blah, blah, blah.
Absolutely. I mean, okay. Just the standard.
Just like standard it says in the academy?
Exactly. Exactly. Perfect. Like it says, verbatim. I mean, except for I changed it to Mike instead of Matt.
So. Okay, yeah, yeah. That's probably a good idea. Sure. You know, I'm doing an experiment with somebody here in the office that has never done a deal before, has no real estate background, and we're doing this test on virtual wholesaling. And if all goes well, I'm going to create a course out of it. But I want to make sure it works first before I promote it as such. And she's sent out, we just started last week, she sent out 100 yellow letters. And she's got 3 calls and 3 appointments. And we're writing 3 offers.
Wow.
So that was like, yeah, just the basic yellow letter. Nothing fancy is needed. And she hand wrote them all. And so that's working well. So I know it still works. Perfect. Yeah. Okay, so bandit signs. Mm-hmm. How many of those were you putting out?
Bandit signs is probably close to about, I'd say 25 to 50 a week. That one, here in St. Louis, it gets cold, and I quit my job in August. So, I mean, I was kind of coming into a little bit more of the winter, and it's just, it's cold sometimes out there. So it was as many as I could get out in the morning, either on a Thursday or Friday morning,
uh-huh,
before my fingers started burning.
Right. Do you have sign ordinances in St. Louis?
There are, yeah. There are. I mean, you got to check your municipalities, so you really can't do those too long. If you mess up and put them in some of the districts, yeah, you get those phone calls.
Okay. So your strategy was to, like, to do Thursday or Friday, leave them out for the weekend?
Mm-hmm. And then go pick them up.
And you want to pick them up on, what, on Monday or Sunday night?
Yeah, well, I mean, whenever you,
whenever you get around to it.
Right, exactly.
I used to just leave mine up. It's just a cost of doing business. I'm not going to go pick them all up.
Yeah,
super.
Well, that happens too.
You know? Okay, so the bumper stickers, this is something new. I have an idea of what it is, but tell me what your strategy is with the bumper stickers.
Well, there's a couple different ones. I mean, the first one is, I've got a woman, I'm paying her, and she goes out and she pays people to put bumper stickers on their car. The bumper sticker just says, "We buy houses," and then has my phone number on it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's two of them. Then one says, "House sold easy." .com, so it directs to my website, so I don't actually have to field all those phone calls.
All right.
So then that's one of the strategies. The other strategy is using the bumper sticker, more like a decal or whatever, and mm-hmm. you get them specific phone numbers. So then you can actually track where the lead came from.
Uh-huh.
So you can pay a referral fee to your buddy or whoever you got to put the phone number on their car. You can get a much larger one on their car, and they ask them to basically put a larger one on their vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pay them possibly a referral fee for any lead mm-hmm. that comes in off of that telephone number.
Sweet.
So that one, yeah, that one's pretty interesting. I mean, you just post it on, like Facebook, and your friends will, pick up on it, and the ones that are willing to anyways will. And
super. So how much are you paying people to put the bumper sticker on?
Just the bumper sticker? Mm-hmm. I mean, that ranges. It's got to be at least 15 to 20 bucks. Otherwise, people usually just kind of laugh at you.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not cheap. But again,
well, if they leave it on, it's not, that's actually
exactly.
probably pretty affordable.
Exactly. I mean, mm-hmm. and it's easier than going out and putting those bandit signs out in
sure.
20 degree weather. So.
No doubt. Okay. Yeah. So the other thing, the decal, this is like one of those decals you put on, like, on the back window.
Yeah, like it's like vinyl. I think it's vinyl lettering.
Okay.
And it basically, you have it professionally installed, like on the windshield. It says, again, it says we buy houses and telephone number. So.
And then that's the one you track. So that's probably a bigger mm-hmm. type of deal. What? How do you compensate those people?
They're paid per deal that closes.
Per deal. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So my next question is, how do you find these people that are willing to put bumper stickers or decals on their own car?
Yeah, that's easy. I mean, that was just, putting it out there on Facebook and asking my friends.
Okay.
Those were the decals. So then bumper stickers, that one, again, I put the same thing we talked about before, so those online ads.
Okay.
I mean, just put anybody interested in making, $25, no work required, just meet me at, Quick Trip this weekend.
So
you try to set up a few people you're going to meet and throw some bumper stickers on some cars and... it's a little bit of trust. Hopefully they'll leave them on there for you.
Super, super. Any other strategies you're doing to generate leads?
Those are my main ones right now. Yellow letters, online ads,
mm-hmm.
got the bandit signs, and then, yeah, those the bumper stickers.
Well, good. So. You got a good mix. So how many leads a week with this combination do you think you're generating?
And enough to where I'm getting a phone call right now. Enough to where it keeps me pretty busy, Matt. I honestly don't do a good enough job tracking that. But I'd say probably close to, I don't know, 100 leads a week. I mean, 100 phone calls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, so let's back up a little bit. We'll get back to this. Yeah. And so you quit your job, and mm-hmm. you've got these lead generation sources working. Right. How long before you got your first deal?
Yeah, that was the scary part. There were a couple of months where I was just thinking, man, I don't know if I made the right choice here. So it was, I guess it was the third month before I actually closed the transaction.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, it was, I breathed a pretty long sigh of relief when that happened. It's just like, oh my gosh, finally, the proof for me that I can do it.
Super.
So,
super.
No, it was 3 months mm-hmm. Before the first one.
So why do you think, what was going on in those first 2 months that wasn't going on in that third month? Like, what made the difference in you actually closing a deal if you have this many leads to work every week?
Well, and that's the thing. I didn't have my marketing campaign pumped up to where it is now mm-hmm. at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it. I mean, it's the numbers game that real estate is. You got to have a lot of leads coming in to find one that's a good deal first off, and then you know, you've got to know at least a handful of buyers that are interested.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, once you figure out how to match those two up, it's really pretty simple to keep doing over and over.
Okay, so what was the I guess the aha moment or the connection that you made where you actually did close a deal? What happened there that was different?
You know, I don't even know if it was different so much. It was just you know, kept doing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really tough one to answer. I mean, I feel like there was a lot of just like, man, it was really close. Like, oh, that one should have gone through, and all that one. But I think it's just a matter of keep doing it, and eventually, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, you kind of figure out what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good. Yeah, I was kind of going there. I didn't know what your answer was going to be, but I could have guessed that there wasn't really a whole lot. It was just that you just kept on doing it, and finally you got one that was actually a motivated seller that was willing to meet your price and terms.
Exactly. And it was, exactly. I mean, you put something in contract, it's a decent property at a decent price, and people are going to, you know, they're going to respond to that. So
super. So you got that third deal, what was the source of that first deal? Do you remember?
First deal, it was a yellow letter.
That was a yellow letter. Okay, perfect. Uh-huh. You got a phone uh-huh. call. And how did that phone call go? How did your typical phone call go?
My typical phone call. I usually just answer the phone the same way I do, as if it was, you know, somebody I know answering, and say, hey, this is Mike. And, you know, normally the people that get a yellow letter are a little confused. They're just like, you want to buy my house? And it's just like, yeah, well, I mean, if you're interested in selling it, I'd like to buy it. Can you tell me a little bit more about what's going on
mm-hmm.
With the property? So, I mean, I usually just, I mean, it's always trying to ask questions, mm-hmm. get on the question asking side of the conversation. And, yeah, that just seems to work much better for me.
Okay. So with that call, what's your actual intent?
I mean, I've got three intents, and I think they probably come straight from you, Matt. I mean, first, I'm trying to, I mean, obviously build rapport with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's asking questions. I mean, it's easiest buy. You want to find out really what their situation is, like why they want or need to sell. And basically then what they want to have happen. I mean, are they wanting to cash out of it? Or are they wanting, I mean, to figure out what they want? And, you know, then you got to judge for motivation too. So you're going to ask them, I mean, how soon do they want to sell?
Right.
So, I mean, you kind of figure out all that stuff to judge motivation and all that. And then, my goal is always to, either set an appointment or, I mean, if it's a really hot lead, I'll almost want to write them a contract right then,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, do a little bit more due diligence than that.
Right.
So.
Well, guy, you did that absolutely perfectly. That's exactly how it goes. In the,
yeah.
That's exactly how I say it.
So, I've been doing it a couple times.
Yeah, I can tell. Awesome. And my gosh, it works, doesn't it?
I know, it's amazing. It really is.
So you went over. Did you set an appointment with this person, and you went to go see the house? Okay.
Yep. Set the appointment. Met over there. It was vacant. The electric, I think, was off. The water was off. So, I mean, it was just that's another thing, Matt. you go into some of these houses and it's just, I consider myself fortunate to grow up in a nice home and all that. And man, you go into some of these houses, man, they're just, whew. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be desired. Now, this one wasn't that bad, though, the one that I was able to get closed on. I mean, utilities were awful. But yeah, I mean, it needed a little bit of work. But yeah, I mean, he just said, I'm tired of being a landlord. I don't want to fix it up. Needs a little bit of work. Is there anything you can do? And we basically started talking numbers and, you know, put pen to paper.
Okay. So you came up with an agreement verbally, mm-hmm. first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just put it down on paper and then you had it under contract, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And then you feel like $1 million.
I bet. Okay. Well, so now you got to get paid for it. So what happened next?
That's right. Well, then I guess the next struggle begins. You know, I found my motivated seller. So, do I have a real buyer out there? And that was to be determined. So, mm-hmm. I do like to send out all my properties to my buyers list by email first.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. I did that, sent it out, and obviously on the first one didn't have any buyers I'd worked with before. So sent it out and, you know, just kind of waited. And it took a couple days before somebody called and wanted to see it. Had another call, somebody wanted to see it. And, yeah, I mean, one thing led to another. And was able to set up an appointment to just, oh, the first deal, though. The first deal, I put up bandit signs, too, at the hardware stores.
Mm, okay.
Basically saying, hey, cheap house for sale. I must sell, and put one of those out. Got a phone call, and that's where that buyer came from.
It was a local
guy that was looking for a house that just needed a little bit of work. And
well, it makes sense. And I always talk about finding buyers and generating leads. I mean, there's no limit to how you can generate those leads. It's all up to your creativity. And you know, just kind of if you want to find sellers, then you go find people in certain situations where. You know, whatever they're dealing with in life might have them cause to sell a home. And then, you know, if you're looking for buyers, go to any place where there's a situation where that person might want to buy a home. So hardware store, perfect place. People are picking up, they're probably fixing up a house as they drove by your sign.
That's the thought process.
I love it. Okay, so you sold that one. And the drum roll, please. How much did you make on that one?
Not what I thought it was going to be, but it ended up being, I think, close to $3,900.
$3,900.
Yeah, almost $4,000. So
we're nothing.
Not a bad little payday.
That's a typical wholesale. I mean, that's right in the middle of the, right in the middle of the spectrum, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Super. So, after you got that one closed, how did that make you feel?
Oh my gosh, walking on cloud nine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like, I can do this. I made the right choice to pursue investing, and it's just time to go. So then it's all about just amping it up and keep the momentum going.
Super. Okay, so you've been doing this. You quit your job 5 months. It took you 3 months mm-hmm. to get the deal. So you had another 2 months since that deal going. What does your business look like since?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, it's like the first deal, it kind of took me a minute to separate it out because once they just started coming a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, first deal, second deal, I mean, it's hard to keep track of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it was, August is when I quit. September, October is probably like the first one. So then November, I really started closing some deals. And I mean, I mean, it's 5 to 10 a month.
Really?
Right now. Yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. Mike. That is
awesome. It's awesome. I mean,
yeah,
it really
no kidding.
Is.
No kidding. So when you went from, you know, that first deal up to 5 to 10 a month,
mm-hmm.
what was the big difference in your activity? What do you think is causing that many deals to come through?
Oh, it's just all about ramping up your marketing.
Marketing, right?
Yeah.
It's all about the lead generation.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned the yellow letters. I was doing, you know, I was trying to write a couple a day when I was working my job. And, you know, since then, it's just amping it up. I mean, to, you know, 25 to 50 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see that many more leads come in and that many more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You're just creating more opportunities for yourself.
So, that's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
So from there, what would you say the of your marketing activities, which one's generating the most deals for you?
Oh, it's still those yellow letters, man.
Yellow letters?
Yeah, still those yellow letters. They're, yeah, they add up. I mean, price-wise, they start feeling like you're spending a lot of money on it, but, man, they're worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Super. What would you say is second place of all that, your activities?
As far as money or, like, the leads coming in?
Yeah, as far as getting deals done. Mm-hmm.
Getting deals done, it's online.
Online?
I really like it. I mean, it's one of those things where if you fine-tune it and you know who you're trying to find,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can find some decent stuff
okay.
out there.
So what's your strategy for finding sellers online?
Sellers online, it's the ads. When you get a property under contract,
uh-huh.
I like to put that on, like, the for sale by owner sites or Backpage and Craigslist, like I mentioned before. But that way you've kind of got a little bit more leverage with somebody looking to buy investment properties
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just saying, hey, check out me, I wholesale properties, or I'm going to find you good deals. When you've actually got a good deal out there, so you put that property out there with some pictures you took and the price and a little bit about the property, but then you can also market your landing page, like your landing page for buyers as
mm-hmm.
well,
mm-hmm.
so that you're kind of killing two birds with one stone there, and
right.
that just seems to work a little bit better than.
Right, but are you finding sellers online? Motivated sellers.
Motivated sellers. I mean that's fewer and farther between.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mostly
the buyers.
Mostly the yellow letters are coming through, or your sellers are coming through yellow letters. What's the
right.
next? The next most effective marketing strategy that's bringing in sellers.
We didn't even talk about that. That's probably networking.
Ah.
I attend a ton of networking events. There's a thing called BNI, so I go to that,
mm-hmm.
and I talk to a whole bunch of realtors, work with them. I attend all, I mean, well, not all, but I mean, as many of the local investment club meetings as I can get to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I would say networking. I mean,
super.
You just gotta talk to people, and once you know people that know other people, that are looking to sell, I mean, that's mm-hmm. kind of the way it works.
Okay. Super. Any deals from your bumper stickers or vinyl lettering?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
No, that's a pretty new one. So.
Good. How new is that?
I'm excited to see some results. Just last month. I mean, it was
okay.
February.
So a month. Okay.
So, yeah.
Super.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't think I have enough out there to even really get a decent response yet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Let's see. You've got this one property. You said you were able to acquire another rental. How are you? How did you acquire that one?
I mean, same methods we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I just finally, I had enough cash in reserves that I still had enough to cover my expenses.
Mm-hmm.
For extended period of time if I wasn't able to do another deal, and had enough left over to pick up the next rental property. So,
perfect. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So you got a good, it seems like you got some good momentum going, and you're getting better and better at it. I can just tell. And you got your 5-10 deals a month. Would you say you're averaging $4,000 a deal?
Yeah, that's a fair average.
Fair average?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Super. You're crushing it, big boy. Love it.
Trying to. Yeah, this month is actually, March will do 11 properties, or 11 doors, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A couple duplexes in there. But
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So
looking back the last 5 months, what's been the biggest surprise to you?
That it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to make a decent check, I mean, I just figured that it was going to take, like, I don't know, these skills that I wouldn't be able to fine-tune for... for a long time, but it's just a matter of talking to people. I mean, sitting there and listening and being genuine with people too. I mean, there's nothing better than being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
So
awesome.
Yeah.
So if you continue to do what you're doing right now, what do you see for your future?
I don't even know. I mean, I'd like to pick up a few rentals. I mean, hopefully, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think my ultimate goal was something like 100 properties in 5 different cities, free
mm-hmm.
and clear,
mm-hmm.
Just to kind of, be diversified and just know that at that point I don't have to do anything really ever again.
Right.
To keep on keeping on.
Right. So do you see that actually happening now?
Oh my gosh, it's so much more realistic now than it was 6 months ago or 5 months ago. I mean, when I quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now it's something that will happen as opposed to something that could happen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome, man.
Yep.
I mean, it's really cool.
Yeah.
I owe a lot of it to you, man. And for sure, your podcast is awesome.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. What's been the biggest thing that you've used from the Academy?
I think it was probably the, I haven't used it in a while. It was the property analyzer.
Okay.
You know, for trying to figure out what to offer and, you know, like things like that. And it's just, when you're getting started, things like that are just awesome, awesome tools.
So, super.
But once you start getting the hang of it, I mean, you kind of know where in your area anyways, if you're keeping it local, what you can do for a property as far as price and whatnot.
Right. That's great.
Yeah,
happy for you, big guy. So if anyone wanted to get in contact with you for the sake of, you know, creating a professional connection, maybe they want to get on your buyer's list, what's the best way for them to do so?
They can check out, you can Google me. I'm Michael Slane, St. Louis. You'll find a couple different websites.
Give us the one.
Okay,
best one.
Slane Sells Houses.
Slane Sells Houses. There we go.
Yeah. Check that one out, and that gets you put on my my buyer's list.
Perfect. So. And that's a .com?
Mm-hmm.
No
mm-hmm.
funny spellings or any spaces, hyphens, nothing like that?
Nope.
Super.
Nope, just slanesellshouses.com.
That sounds great. So. Great. Well, Michael, is there anything that I can do for you?
Oh, man, I don't think so, man. Just keep it up. I mean, you keep helping other people. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't think so.
Okay. Well, the phone is...
You want to buy all my dogs, that'd be great. You know, houses I can't sell.
Right? Well, you never know. Never know. Anyway, thanks for your time. The phone line here is always open to you. And thank you for being so giving with your experience and getting so detailed. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's nice talking with you.
Likewise. Okay, so that's it for today. I'm Matt Terrio, living the dream.
You've been listening to Epic Real Estate Investing, the world's foremost authority on separating the facts from the BS in real estate investing education. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to visit iTunes and share your thoughts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time here at Epic Real Estate Investing with Matt Terrio.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.